On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from drizzly Seattle. I think that autumn is truly here. Here on KKNW AM 1150 here at Hubbard Radio. You may be listening on the East Coast in New York, Connecticut, or Rhode Island on WBLQ AM 1230. I'd like to say shout out to hello to those people there, and you know who you are. You may be listening on one of the 35 stations in Australia or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're joining us from today, thank you for joining us. We've got a great show ahead. And before I get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi, Christine. I have yet to give in yet. Still, the heater is turned off. I'm not going to do it. I'll just get another blanket. I've got to. I'm not going to do it, Christine. Okay, maybe next week.
Oh, I've already turned on my fireplace, you know.
You did that, I think, back in June. No, I'm just joking. You have a much larger house to take care of rather than me.
Yeah, so. But still, it's you know, you can be by a window, and I'll look at the thermostat. It's like, it's not that cool in here, but I'm sitting by a window, and it just feels kind of nippy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's just one of those things. Maybe you need a layer. Yeah. It's all about layering.
Yes, that and the cats start to cuddle. So yeah,
well, see, there you helps. Go right there.
That
you
really
know,
helps.
There's your layers right there.
Yes, exactly.
Come closer, little ones.
And before we get into today's topic and today's guest, I wanted to share an announcement. First of all, if you were listening at this time yesterday, you may have heard me on the Dr. Pat Show. She had me on talking about the vibration of change, which is a workshop and a model about positive lasting change that I've been bringing forth over the last year or so. And if you happen to miss it, I've got the replay up on my homepage, christineupchurch.com, and also a link to the East-West Bookshop events that I've got coming up, including one on the vibration of change, which is a week from Sunday at 12:30. It's been an afternoon going through this experiential workshop, learning about a new perspective on all positive lasting change, regardless of what it is, whether we're talking about healing, transformation, changing life circumstances, you know, attracting a mate, whatever it might be. It's a model that can help people to understand how all positive lasting change occurs. And also, I will provide you with 5 different personality profiles, and you will be able to determine what, based on your own profile, which profile fits you, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and how you can sort of empower yourself in new ways to navigate change. So again, October 2nd, and go to my homepage, christineupchurch.com, for all the information about that, links to those registrations and the audio tape from yesterday as well. Okay. Got that out of the way because I know I used to try to leave that till the end and then I get into these great conversations and it would never happen. So got that out of the way. And now we're on a roll and we have a guest who has written, oh my goodness, I can't even count how many books. The book that I'm looking at that I've been reading is called The Pull, Relationships and Their Spiritual Significance. Her name is Jill Lurie. And today we are going to be talking about spirituality and sexuality, the link between the two, which I think is fascinating. I think it's time that we have these kinds of conversations. She's got a fascinating kind of background to be talking about sort of the spiritual concepts that she presents in books and talks about on radio shows. She graduated from the University of Wisconsin with a degree in chemistry. And she eventually got into business and advertising. And I think about 3 years ago, she made the leap out of sort of the business realm and the corporate realm to step into her passion, which has been her spiritual path. She was raised in the Lutheran faith, and she became more deeply spiritual within the rooms of Alcoholic Anonymous back in 1989. And she has been introduced to these teachings, you know, many, many years ago, that basically she describes as having walked through the doorway of a fourth step and found the whole library. And she has made it her mission to figure out how we apply these teachings and to translate these teachings from sort of the channeled information to some information that's really accessible for our daily lives. I would like to welcome our guest today, Jill Lurie. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
You know, I'm fascinated by this concept of integrating sexuality and spirituality. You know, I think it once upon a time, that itself, that connection was kind of compartmentalized, and it was called tantric sex. Why is it important today that we begin to look at sexuality in a spiritual context?
I think it's important because it's inherently integrally linked with our spiritual path. I mean, our spiritual journey is all about uniting all of the aspects of ourselves that have gotten fragmented or split off or frozen, and they all show up in the sexual experience. There's a lot of opportunity there for us to work with what we want to work with on our spiritual journey, but we can't split off sexuality now separate from the rest of ourselves as a spiritual being,
right,
and be able to find that wholeness that we're seeking.
Yeah, and you just said a whole lot there in a couple of sentences about how within the context of our sexuality and particularly with a partner, how it brings up a lot of our stuff for illumination and release. And I think that people often don't think of sexuality and one-on-one, like romantic relationships in those terms. They look at it as just sort of as some sort of completion. Can we deal with these aspects of ourselves sort of outside of the realm of sexuality and one-on-one romance?
Well, we certainly can, and we do in these teachings. It's referred to as having a relationship as being a path within a path. Because in our spiritual path, if we have a relationship, all of our work is going to arise right there in our personal and sexual intimate relationships. So in a way, it's unfortunate not to use it as the launching point for doing our spiritual work.
Right.
But what it's going to bring up for us are the pieces that we need to be looking at inside of ourselves. So we always want to be doing that work, I'll say, on our own. We work with a healer, a therapist, some type of person who helps us on our journey, and then we bring ourselves back more fully into the relationships that we're in, whether they're our intimate partnerships or just, you know, people that we work with and our colleagues.
Right.
We're always wanting to kind of do this, you know, with this evolution. We step out and we walk into life and we bump into something and we say, oh, there's something here for me to look at. We look at it and then we can bring ourselves back into the relationship more fully. But it gives us a lot of good material to work with.
Yeah, and it, based on my own experience, it seems as though there's some things that sort of remain dormant and until we get into sort of a romantic relationship. And then it's kind of like bringing up certain levels, certain types of things that wouldn't come up as easily without that kind of, you know, that kind of spark and that kind of connection and that kind of sort of some of the neediness that comes up within that context.
Right. Once the energy starts to flow in an intimate relationship, it's going to kick loose these parts of ourselves that, as you say, have been lying dormant. And, you know, it's really our human condition to want to avoid looking at those places in ourselves that are really our, you know, we're here to heal these fragmented and, I'll say, split off aspects of ourselves.
Right.
So it's, you know, the blessing of whatever it is that brings these to the surface so that we can see what they are so that we can heal them. But what we tend to do is we look at that and say, well, I want to keep avoiding that. This relationship can't be the right one. And we move on to somebody else where we think this stuff isn't going to come up to the surface.
Right.
Rather than saying, oh, this is what relationships do. They help me see these parts of myself that I'm having such a hard time grappling with.
Right.
They bring them right out on the table, right in between us.
Yeah. And it seems to me that in a healthy relationship, it provides a perfect opportunity for witnessing and kind of like triggering and then witnessing and loving through the release. But that's often not what happens, is it?
Well, we get so stuck You know, we bump up against a place inside of ourselves that already is. It's stuck energy and it's frozen consciousness. There's some kind of a misunderstanding in our soul. So, you know, by nature, what we're bumping into is a place that's already gotten frozen, you know, long ago, something that's probably, you know, has some roots back into our childhood.
Right.
And if we don't now slow down and turn around and take a look at it, we'll just keep running from these places in ourselves that we're really here to want to uncover and surface and heal.
Right.
And it's going to be true for both people in a relationship. What often happens is that rather than being the kind of good kind of lock and key in the relationship, we end up in that negative lock and key where their stuff locks in with our stuff.
Uh-huh.
Neither one of us wants, no one wants to see that maybe there's something that they need to work on. We never want to admit that maybe we're wrong.
Uh-huh.
These are tough things for us to do, to turn around and take a look at. Maybe there's something inside of myself that needs to be unwound.
Yeah.
But we entrench, we lock in, and we make it worse. We get ourselves tangled.
Right, right. So we have to go to a quick break. But when we return, Jill, I'm going to want you to talk about why you named this book The Pull, and how we can sort of get unlocked and sort of shift and use sexuality and relationships to kind of step more fully into our spirituality. More with Jill Lurie in just a few moments. Are you looking for positive, lasting change, greater well-being, better relationships, and improved life circumstances? The Vibration of Change is here to help you navigate change in a new way. As someone who has been on my own transformational journey and who has helped facilitate change for thousands, I've discovered something which goes beyond manifestation techniques, beyond behavioral changes, and beyond systems of healing. There are universal principles governing all change which determine whether we remain stuck or whether we manifest our dreams. Understanding these principles, as well as your own personal tendencies, can be life-changing. Join me, Christine Upchurch, at East West Bookshop in Seattle on October 2nd for an experiential workshop. Step into your vibration of change and empower yourself in a new way. For more information or to register, go to christineupchurch.com. That's christineupchurch.com, or visit eastwestbookshop.com.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
The love you took from me, oh,
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, talking to Jill Lurie, and we're talking about her book called The Pull. Now, Jill, I was a little surprised to, like, you jump right into this concept of The Pull being a little bit different than what I anticipated. Mm-hmm. I anticipated you talking about one direction of the pull, but not the other. Can you please share with our listeners what the pull is and why there's like this, you know, sort of alternate kind of pull going on?
So we are inherently geared toward fusion. Our souls, in fact, have, you know, long, long ago, eons ago, in the beginning of how we've found ourselves here, is we've split from a single soul into two halves, the masculine and the feminine. Mm-hmm. So we're automatically kind of wired to want to find that other half of ourselves. So there's this pull towards fusion, this pull towards connection. It, you know, the pull towards wholeness is that same kind of a pull. But this one in the pull of a relationship is this desire to be connected with another in a deep and holistic way that encompasses both the physical aspect of our relationship as well as the mental and the emotional.
Right.
And there's also the aspect that we're wired for pleasure. We can't live without pleasure, which is one of the most fundamental aspects of these teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that there's this kind of grand setup that when we incarnate, we come into a situation that's going to bring our issues to the surface for healing, which means we're going to be in situations that are going to cause frustration and they're going to cause pain.
Okay.
And what happens for children is that we attach our pleasure principle, if you will, to that painful experience. And what happens then as adults is we find we need that same activation of frustration and painful experience to activate our life force.
Wow. So can you give me an example from childhood? I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this.
So if we're in a very chaotic environment where we never know what's happening, rather than saying pleasure happens when things are comfortable and relaxed and I know what's going to happen, now my pleasure principle gets attached to chaos and not knowing what's going to happen next. Uh-huh. And I always need to be second guessing what's happening. So now I grow up and I become an adult and I don't realize that this is what's kind of stuck now in my unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will find a person who will dance with me in this way of never really quite knowing what's happening. I never really quite know the lay of the land. So I will actually find a person so that I can set that up so that that same dynamic, which is really a painful and destructive dynamic, is what I need in order for me to feel like I come alive. That kind of coming alive doesn't feel good, but it's got a lot of energy in it. It has a lot of juice.
Right.
And so we
have to uncover. And it feels familiar
to
then, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to uncover then how we basically find pleasure in these destructive ways of being. That's what we unlock when we're in a relationship and we start to get curious about why do I pick a fight just when I want to be intimate with my partner?
Right.
Well, that's when I come alive, is because now I've got this energy of anger because maybe that was part of what was in my history. So we want to be able to continually mine our relationships by looking at what is it that's activating us and giving us our life force, because we're not going to give up our pleasure.
Right.
And a lot of times what happens is that this pain-pleasure dynamic is such that we think, this is just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm wired, and this is the only way that I can enjoy pleasure. We don't want to unwind it. We want to keep our pleasure. And that's when we really get in a pickle, is that then we kind of get shame wrapped over the top of whatever our dynamic looks like.
Uh-huh.
We have self-judgment. We're worried that the world will judge us if they knew what I was really like. So then we go into more hiding and more avoiding rather than getting curious and uncovering what that's about so that we could unwind all of that. And then we could once again have pleasure, but this time it would feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have that negativity associated with it.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect that there are a lot of people who, if they're even sort of curious and become aware of that dynamic, have a lot of fear that if they actually unravel it, and heal it within themselves, then it means they're going to have to leave their existing relationship, which can be a real threat as well.
And it's hard to dance in a relationship, especially an established relationship, in a new way. We don't know if the partner is going to join us, if they're going to also want to dive into these hidden areas.
Yes.
But, you know, once we get on one of these spiritual journeys, it's a bit like a roller coaster where you can't get started and not finish the ride. So we need to follow our own calling for what's best for our soul. And, you know, this is that place where we can kind of have compassion that we are all one. So something that's not serving me can't be serving my partner.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to be able to look at our healing from a way that it's not. And we find ourselves caught in this dualistic way of looking at things of it's me or it's them. And we get down these dualistic roads, which are always traps. They're always illusions. We get there from making these decisions based on these hidden, unconscious bits of misunderstanding. So we often do find ourselves in a dead end where all of our options look bad and we're caught. And those are tough places to get out of. And we've gotten there because we've had some wrong thinking that has been guiding our way. We're going to have to make some tough choices to get ourselves to where we want to get to.
So do you feel that for whatever reason that people are feeling compelled to deal with some of these things at this stage on our planet?
Yeah, there's a lot that's surfacing to be dealt with. You know, one of the teachings about how we've come to this place where we are still holding on to this idea that sexuality is somehow taboo. It's just a holdover from a previous time when we actually needed to put a bit of a lid on our sexuality in order to get more developed so that we could now deal with it. I think the teaching that you originally had seen that was interesting to you talked about how you know, we've come a long way in the last hundreds and thousands of years. We didn't used to be so evolved. Well, now we have fine-tuned things quite a bit. We're really ready to have more open and, I'll say, guided conversations about how the sexuality-spirituality link really works. These were not things that we were talking about in my Lutheran faith growing up.
No.
Right? But a lot of people are so hungry for this kind of journey, for the spiritual journey, that and once we start to take off these layers of shame that really do nothing but serve to keep us looking away, we start to realize, you know what, I've got the same stuff that somebody else has, really that everybody else has. We all might have different versions. It might look a little different for you than it does for me, but we all have places where there's something that's gotten stuck. There's some misunderstanding in our soul, and it needs to be unwound. We don't need to be in judgment around that. We really need to hold it with a lot of acceptance and compassion.
So how do we go about unwinding these things?
I think the first step is we need to get curious. We need to come out of judgment and just start to get curious. You know, for one thing, our minds are curious. And our minds get stuck in what we've been taught. One of the things I love about these teachings is that they keep on illuminating these types of topics from different aspects. They give us different perspectives so that our minds open up, so that we start to consider different ways of holding whatever our belief might be, just holding the fact that we have a hidden belief that we didn't even know that we had. So we open our minds to new ways of looking at these things. And then we need to really, in the moment of living, start to make different choices. But it's an iterative thing. We go bit by bit of noticing. First of all, we usually notice in hindsight of, oh, you know, that thing that happened a few days ago. Then we start to notice that thing that I did this morning. You know, eventually, as we continually bring this into our conscious awareness, we start to notice in the moment of, here's, I'm doing it again. I'm withholding from my partner. I can feel this wall coming up. I feel myself cutting off. Why do I do that? This isn't what I want. This is what I know I don't want this, and yet here I am doing it again. And rather than judging ourselves for it, we get curious in that moment. And we just breathe. You know, if you're in tune to how our energy is in our body, so much gets cut off just because we don't breathe deeply and connect with our own bodies.
Right. Well, and that breathing, particularly the exhalation, from my perspective, it's about release and acceptance. And so we're mm-hmm. so busy, you know, pushing things away that it's hard to get into that place of ease within our bodies because we're not in that psychological surrender.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is fascinating, and I know that you've got lots more to say about this. And I've got several questions for you about not only how to sort of bring this out and connect spirituality to sexuality within the context of an existing relationship, but how people can sort of utilize this whole process in terms of choosing the right partner. We're going to go to a quick break, but more with Jill Lurie in just a few moments.
Time goes by so slowly. Time goes by so slowly.
Have you ever wanted to learn about the colors of your chakras? Well, now's your chance. Lynn Brown, host of Get Into It, is hosting an event Friday, November 4th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in Mount Vernon. Every person will get a reading on the most prominent color in their aura. Join Lynn Brown November 4th at the Riverwalk Studio in Mount Vernon. To register for this event, call 360-588-4713. That's 360-588-4713.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you looking for positive, lasting change, greater well-being, better relationships, and improved life circumstances? The Vibration of Change is here to help you navigate change in a new way. As someone who has been on my own transformational journey and who has helped facilitate change for thousands, I've discovered something which goes beyond manifestation techniques, beyond behavioral changes, and beyond systems of healing. There are universal principles governing all change, which determine whether we remain stuck or whether we manifest our dreams. Understanding these principles, as well as your own personal tendencies, can be life-changing. Join me, Christine Upchurch, at East West Bookshop in Seattle on October 2nd for an experiential workshop. Step into your vibration of change and empower yourself in a new way. For more information or to register, go to christineupchurch.com. That's christineupchurch.com or visit eastwestbookshop.com.
Calling all Intuits, healers, and readers. You are invited to the Women of Wisdom Fall Festival. Join us as we celebrate the bounty of our Mother Earth on October 1st at North Seattle Community College. We're looking for a variety of practitioners and experts in the art of energy healings, intuitive readings, and body work. If you are a reader, healer, or an artisan selling handmade arts and crafts, we invite you to share your gifts with the Women of Wisdom community. Go to womenofwisdom.org to apply.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Reach out, touch faith.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, 35 stations in Australia, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with the author of the book called The Pull, Relationships and Their Spiritual Significance, Jill Lurie. Jill, you know, you and I were talking on the break about something that I found rather fascinating. You were saying, like, you know, earlier on you were talking about how we're sort of driven by pleasure. That's sort of our nature. We get confused because pleasure is often associated with pain because of whatever, you know, dysfunction within our upbringing.
Right.
But you said something about sometimes we're afraid of embracing pleasure. Why is that?
We have as much fear of pleasure as we have of pain. And most
wow.
people, when we bump up against that, we find ourselves shocked to believe that. You know, part of it is that we're so geared to run away from pain and towards pleasure, but we're still running. We're still not embracing the wholeness of all that is. And this is one of the biggest challenges on our spiritual journey. When we move from duality to the oneness, to unity, we're going to need to embrace both aspects, the pain and the pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And once we start to really grapple with these frozen places in us that are these painful places in us,
right.
we're going to be able to open up to the pleasure. But right now, where we're often at is we're blocking against the pain. We're also then going to block against the pleasure. It's kind of a one-size-fits-all when we
right.
block our emotions. So we don't just get to lift the lid on pleasure and we're going to keep all that pain at bay.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as we start to feel the pleasure arising in a relationship, it starts, you know, busting loose these frozen places. We're going to run as fast as we can from that, which means we're also running from the pleasure.
Right.
Because in order for all those circuits to be turned on, in order for us to fully come alive, we really have to be willing to face both sides or all aspects. And this
yeah.
original misconception of this young, split-off part of ourselves believes that to feel pain is to die. We're caught in that life-or-death dualistic thinking.
Uh-huh.
And so it feels like self-preservation, that
right.
I have to run from that or it will kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learn over working in therapy, working with our healers, is that not only does the pain not kill us, it's what really opens our hearts.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing that feels more warm and relaxing than a good cry.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
we really just open up and our heart melts. And that's when we can see that, oh, pain and pleasure actually really are one,
uh-huh.
that this really does all fit together. And we can open up to embracing the pleasure because we realize that, yeah, you know, the person I'm in love with, they're human. They're going to have their faults. But sometimes they're not going to be able to see me. Sometimes they might hurt me.
Right.
And that won't kill me. You know, I can feel that and I can move through it.
Mm-hmm. What about shame associated with pleasure?
Yeah, we have so much shame associated with everything. You wouldn't think we would have shame associated with the best parts of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But again, this idea, it's a one-size-fits-all. If I feel shameful about the what I call the bad parts of myself, the
uh-huh.
parts I don't want anybody to see,
right.
I'm
going to
have just
yep.
as Yeah, I'm going to have shame about the best of who I am. I'm
uh-huh.
going to have shame about my light. It's all, you know, again, if I'm in hiding, all of me is in hiding. So people don't shine brightly in their light, and then all the bad parts, nobody sees them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that lid is going to go over our light and our goodness, you know, the best parts of ourselves as well.
Right.
Our higher self.
What about shame specifically associated with sexuality, and at least in the American culture?
Yeah, we have so much, we're so split about this. We think we're so advanced and
uh-huh.
we're so open because of our sexuality. And really often our sexuality is so cut off from intimacy and from the heart that I think that's where a lot of our shame is associated. We realize that we're really hiding so much of ourselves. I know in my own spiritual journey, it was an awakening when I realized that I think there's a possibility I'm using sexuality to cut off intimacy. Because, you know, so
really?
Often we skip steps.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of the basic foundational teachings here is that we can't skip steps.
Uh-huh.
But when we try to be, I'll say, too intimate too quickly, we're sharing ourselves sexually, but there's big parts of ourselves that have gotten left in the dust. And we're not really able to stay coherent. We're not able to stay present with our own beings and our own selves. And so we have to cut off. We have to kind of close off our heart chakra. We have to shut that down in order to open up sexually. And a lot of times it'll switch around and we can only be loving with somebody we don't have sexual feelings for. So there's that split happening between our sexuality and our heart.
Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, people getting into the sexual intimacy quickly is really about trying to circumvent true kind of sharing and intimacy is what you're saying. That's fascinating.
Right. There's communication, there's levels of sharing, you know, to share our fear, you know, as part of the exploration of a relationship with someone, we skip right over that. but that's often what's present is that we feel these places that, you know, become ambivalent. Mm-hmm. Not all of me is ready.
Yeah. And it's interesting for me to hear this within the context of being a parent with two boys. I've got a 16-year-old and a 22-year-old. And I've had to sort of, with my 22-year-old, he's actually gotten information and perspective that he's been kind of getting from his friends. And he's confused by it because he's not wired in a way to sort of objectify sex. And yet he's feeling like that's what, as a young man, that's what he's supposed to do. And so he's totally confused. And I'm thinking he's probably less confused than those who are just objectifying it. And yet, you know, he's actually recognizing his confusion about it.
Right. He's grappling with it.
Yeah.
Now, one of the best pieces of advice I heard, and I also have two sons who are in their early 20s, and somewhere when they were in their teenage years, one of my teachers of this material had said, if we could just have our children try to link up their sexuality with their heart chakras or with an open heart. In other words, if you're going to have sex with somebody that you care for.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And not skip over that. And too often we just isolate the aspect of sexuality instead of integrating it with the entire relationship of is that something you're both ready for? You know, and how do you navigate the challenges that are going to come up with it? Because as we said, all of our issues that are in our psyches are going to arise in our sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm. So I know that there are a lot of people out there who feel like, you know, they're single or they're in like yet another relationship, but it's probably not going to last. And they feel like they just keep inviting the same kind of toxicity into their lives. How does a person go about attracting the right kind of person and B, sort of healing through some of the same patterns of attracting the same kind of problems over and over again?
So I think this is where the teaching about a relationship being a path within a path is really helpful, is that if we hold our relationship as a mirror that is showing us where we have our work to do, then we can start to get curious about what is it showing us. So in these immature parts of ourselves that have gotten frozen and split off, part of what's happening there is we see the world through, we're in a trance. We get frozen, and if somebody shows up and they have a trait that's similar to one of our parents that we were challenged in our relationship with, suddenly that person in front of us is in a lot of ways now they've become our parent, and we no longer see them for who they are.
Right.
And those are the kind of trances that create the pattern.
Right. That good old projection,
exactly. And as soon as we start to see that this is a pattern, we can start to take it off of the other person and say, well, there's something in me that I need to get more information about. Why do I continually have this pattern recurring?
Right.
And so coming back to the idea that somehow there's a misunderstanding in my soul. I have taken some conclusion about life and it's gotten pushed down into my unconscious. It's now driving how I'm going about living my life, who I'm attracting into my life. There must be something there that I need to surface because this is not consciously what I think I want. And yet here it is. This is what keeps showing up.
Right.
So it's giving us a lot of good information.
Yeah. And I think sometimes many of us at certain stages of our lives, instead of thinking it's about us, thinking it's, you know, go to the blame and shame kind of game, you know, where it's really about, oh, there's a problem with that person. I just didn't see it, you know, as opposed to realizing that there's something within themselves that's actually attracting it.
Well, there's this piece, too, where we when we're caught in these, I'll say immature places, uh-huh. we're caught in that kind of a stance of a child, which is that we only want to receive. So then it's all about us,
yeah,
and it's all
yeah.
what they give us. But when we're an adult and we're in a relationship with another adult, there needs to be mutuality.
Sure.
There needs to be giving and receiving. And so often what we're not able to do is to find out what is it that I need to give in this moment. Instead, we get locked into our demand of what we want to be receiving.
Right.
So
because if we're in the wounded place, we're back to childhood. Yes.
Right, right. So rather than saying, well, what's going on for this other person?
Uh-huh.
What's their wound about? What's their history about? Getting curious about them. You know, one of the teachings is about what keeps Eros in a relationship alive. And it's this curiosity, this wanting to know this other soul. I love this teaching that says there's a lifetime would not be enough time for us to get to know another soul.
Oh, wow.
And yet, usually we get so far in and we kind of think we know everything there is to know about our partner,
uh-huh.
and we stop being curious rather than knowing that layers are going to continue to surface. There may be new layers. It could be a new cycle of an old layer.
Right.
But when we're caught in our own little trance, it's all about us and it's all about our wound.
Uh-huh.
And we're not able to get outside of ourselves and really see the fullness of the other, including, you know, seeing them that they got split off places.
Right,
you know, they have
right.
their own fragmented aspects of themselves, and to be able to hold that as the totality of who they are.
What happens if you've got somebody who is sort of behaving in a conscious way, actually able to sort of not only address some of their woundedness, but recognize it in their partner and being accepting of it, but the partner is not willing to look within? What does a person do with that kind of stagnation?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge of the dance of relationships is, you know, to hope that we're both going to be on the same trajectory and uh-huh. always at the same pace.
Right, right.
right. So if we can find that place in us that is demanding and that is frustrated, and if we can go through our own feelings and release our own feelings around that, it's like we don't necessarily shift the relationship, but we shift our relationship to the relationship.
Uh-huh.
Suddenly, it doesn't seem like it's the end of the world that this person wasn't able to show up for me today.
Right.
Suddenly, I see that, oh, they're in a stuck place, and they maybe need to be in this stuck place for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we continue to dance our way in our relationship, we're going to need to assess whether this person is moving forward in a direction that we also want to go.
Right.
But sometimes we're going to lead and sometimes they're going to lead.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so challenging. And this is where these young parts of ourselves cannot tolerate frustration.
Mm.
We think everything, we need immediate gratification. And really, like one of the teachings that I just love, it's all about leadership. And a big aspect of how do we become a leader of our own life is we learn how to tolerate frustration. It's almost like a spiritual muscle we need to build.
Yeah.
This isn't putting up a wall. This isn't stiff-arming the other. This isn't sulking because, you know, those are what we usually do.
Right.
And we find ourselves more stuck in and entrenched in these places that are really painful to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But as you mentioned earlier, because they're so familiar, we don't know to look at them and realize there must be a way out.
Yeah.
Because whenever we're stuck, we're in duality. Duality is always an illusion, and we're not seeing the wholeness of what's possible. You know, the truth will encompass so many different aspects that until we get the whole truth about anyone or anything, we're going to find ourselves feeling unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
So look at it as just keep on going for what more don't I know?
Uh-huh.
This is that place of curiosity. What else is there that would help me understand and hold this?
Right, right. We have to go to another quick break, but we'll continue this conversation in just a few moments.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
Brand consultant and coach Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're a person with a dream and unsure where to start, or a CEO of a successful company wondering what's next, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empowers you to play to your strengths and focus your competitive edge so you can show up in the world as your most powerful brand. Go to jenmorgan.com or call 206-972-5366.
Would you like to experience life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service? If you do, tune in to learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine is author of The Joy Chronicles, and she's inviting you and millions of others to join her in working with galactic masters, angels, and the Ashtar Command, as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information about this upcoming event and broadcast, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, E-L-A-I-N-E.com.
Are you looking for positive, lasting change, greater well-being, better relationships, and improved life circumstances? The Vibration of Change is here to help you navigate change in a new way. As someone who has been on my own transformational journey and who has helped facilitate change for thousands, I've discovered something which goes beyond manifestation techniques, beyond behavioral changes, and beyond systems of healing. There are universal principles governing all change which determine whether we remain stuck or whether we manifest our dreams. Understanding these principles, as well as your own personal tendencies, can be life-changing. Join me, Christine Upchurch, at East West Bookshop in Seattle on October 2nd for an experiential workshop. Step into your vibration of change and empower yourself in a new way. For more information or to register, go to ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com, or visit EastWestBookshop.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. You know, I'm talking to Jill Lurie, and this hour is flying by. We're talking about her book, The Pull. And Jill, before we go any further and run out of time, because we're having such a fun conversation, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you, as well as these teachings, you know, on which this book and other books are based?
Yeah, so my website is called Finesse. It's like Phoenix with E-S-S-E on the end. So P-H-O-E-N-E-S-S-E. And that's on the website Finesse. You can find there are actually 7 books that I've created in the series. Each of them takes a slightly different tack on putting together these teachings that are from the Pathwork organization. So the original teachings, you can either access them through my website or you can go to pathwork.org, and all of the original teachings are available for free online, both audio versions and written versions. The books that I've created are taking these same teachings and presenting them in an easier-to-read way, because they're a little bit, I liken reading the original lectures to walking through tall grass. It's just a little hard to get through. Obviously, It's not impossible. I've been learning and studying them for 19 years.
Right.
But I'm trying to put them together in a way that both combines them in more logical kind of sequences or in these books, but also just makes them a little easier to get through.
Yeah, and you do a wonderful job. I really do enjoy this book, and it's funny because it's it's clearly written, and yet it's got a whole lot of substance within each paragraph. So it's kind of like you can read it quickly. Unlike some things, like sometimes when you read channel material, it's like, oh, you have to sort of reread paragraphs over and over again.
But I've reread a lot of paragraphs.
Yeah, yeah. And,
so
and this is easier.
To make them a little easier.
Right. Yeah. But it's still, it's got lots of substance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, one of the things that you talk about that I find so fascinating is, you know, in this era where, you know, sexuality and objectification, particularly of women, but objectification of both genders is rampant in our country. So is disinterest in sex. What's going on there?
Yeah, when we put a lid on our feelings, they all shut down. And so, you know, this whole human condition of avoiding and hiding and running away, it's all trying to block out what we're already blocking and freezing. And so when these energy streams in our bodies are being frozen, you know, we can't just suddenly hope that we're going to, you know, lay down in bed and be ready to be intimate and all the lights are going to turn on.
Right.
Because we have been methodically switching off lights because we didn't want to feel painful feelings. Mm-hmm. And circling back to this idea that we need to run away from them, that they have the potential to kill us. They don't. They're just painful feelings. And if we feel them, they'll release and all that energy will be reactivated and re-enlivened. And we'll have our libido back. We'll have our life force back. But, you know, we have to turn these light switches back on one at a time because we turn them off one at a time.
Right. And I'm so fascinated, before you continue, I'm so fascinated by the fact that you talk about how experiencing our pain actually enlivens us. I think a lot of people don't really understand that.
No, we think the way to happiness, you know, again, from this dualistic perspective, the way to be happy is to not be sad. Actually, if we will just feel those sad feelings and let them move through, we can move on to being able to feel all of our feelings.
Right.
All of the lights will come back on.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it's a teaching from Peter Levine that when an animal gets scared, afterwards it'll go through this whole like body shake to shake it off and like kind of let it go. And
right.
Instead, we just lock down, we stop breathing, and we freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And those frozen energy circuits get locked in our bodies, and we actually can see that in the way that our bodies kind of form and develop by where, you know, there are whole studies of characterology of how our bodies develop based on how we're freezing energy in our bodies.
Uh-huh.
So we can go back through and gradually re-enliven all of ourselves, and then we can have real full pleasure with all of the circuits plugged in and without the guilt, because there's so much guilt that comes with our pleasure centers when they're still attached to destructiveness and to negativity.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And also, if you think in terms of the stuck energy in the physicality, which is, you know, an integral part of sexual intimacy, then, you can't experience the fullness of it if you've got areas shut down physically.
Right. And then if there's that consciousness that goes with it that says, I'm not good enough, I don't matter, I'm not pretty enough, this is where society has kind of collectively outpictured what we're all telling ourselves.
Right.
You know, it's not society that's doing it to us. This is society showing up this way because individually we all have these places in ourselves that feel that we don't have enough value, that we're not worthy.
Right.
Those are those core places that we really need to be focusing on to heal.
Beautifully said. You know, this hour has flown by. I want to, again, share with our listeners your website. I'm going to spell it out because it's a beautiful sounding name, but it's a little hard for me to think in terms of how to spell it. So it's phoenesse.com, phoenesse.com, finesse.com. And I want to thank you, Jill, for joining us here today. And I'm really fascinated by this work. And it's funny, I was telling you on one of the breaks that I had never heard of the pathwork material before. And not only is your writing beautiful, but the teachings are very, very deep and meaningful.
They're amazing and they're timeless, and I feel like there's a whole phoenix that can happen here with giving them a whole new life.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm hoping for.
And I thank you for showing up for that because, chemistry's a far, far way away from it. And So you had to sort of redirect your life a few times probably in order to show up for this. And I think it's great that you're doing this because there's a lot of meaning in this. So thank you. And I want to thank all of you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.